Welcome to My Ministry Mission, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Sit back and relax as we dive into God's Word together, finding hope, guidance, and inspiration for our lives. Be sure to check out today's show notes for extra resources, updates, and ways to connect with our growing community. Or head on over to MyMinistryMission.com to get more information, contact me, become a guest, and so much more. God has placed a calling of ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call, sharing my journey of faith, tackling tough questions, and encouraging you to live boldly for Christ. So I hope you're ready to ignite your spiritual flames. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Welcome back and thank you for listening. My name is Jason and I am your host. Have you ever been so inspired by scripture that you built a thriving business around it, even when every ounce of worldly logic told you this is a bad idea? My guest has done just that. In this episode, I get to speak with Rusty Roberts, who built Rio Medical on the inspired word of God and a tremendous amount of faith. Rusty has taken it even further and is now working on developing an entire community and system based around what he's calling Psalm's Path. So I hope you're ready to hear something amazing today. So welcome, Rusty. Thank you so much for giving us the gift of your time today.
Thanks for having me, Jason. Appreciate it.
So did a quick teaser intro. We'll get into the meat of this for a moment. But before we get started, is there like a 30,000 foot view of who Rusty is that you want to share?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm a disciple, modern day disciple of God. Did not start there. Quick synopsis on me. I'm the son of a stage 4 cancer survivor. She survived non-Hodgkin's lymphoma with 22 tumors in her upper abdomen. I watched her go through the gamut of chemotherapy that killed her. They resuscitated her, brought her back to life, and sent her home to die. That was in 2007. So she went down to Mexico. And when you know it, the Lord gave her a miracle healing in about 3 weeks. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. That changed the course of our life. And in 2019, my wife and I had been asking the Lord for a desire. We didn't know what we wanted. We'd been running an online advocacy with my father, but we just were stirred. We didn't know what we wanted. The Lord laid on our hearts, you're going to open a clinic in the U.S., That was an amazing adventure, and it still is amazing adventure. And that's based on Psalm 37, 1 through 8. That's where we got the understanding that the Lord was with us and would fight for us, and he certainly did. He elevated us beyond our ability, and we now have one of the top holistic integrative cancer clinics in the country. It's located out in Scottsdale, Arizona. Saving lives that others did not know could be saved. From there, the Lord laid it on my heart. Hey, I want you to help others do what I helped you do. And that's where we are today. So first I wrote the book with Psalm's Path. That is an actionable plan. Let me give you what this is as a 30,000 foot. Psalms 37, 1 through 8 is a prophetic word from King David. What that is a conditional invitation from our Lord above to co-create righteous desires with him that he will manifest into our lives. They're bigger than we think. They're more than we ask for the purpose of elevating us so people can see that our lives are governed not by the physical, but by miracles. And with that, we bear much good fruit. It pleases our Lord in heaven. And we go from Christians to disciples. And that's what Jesus called us to do. That is what that word in Psalm 37, 1 through 8 is. Now, there's a lot of scripture that adds clarity to that from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But that's what that is. And that's the word that we built Rio Medical on. And we'll be building other businesses on.
Okay. Before we get into Psalm's Path, which I think that really deserves our focus, I kind of want to reflect on this. So you had a family member, I think it was your mother, who had massive cancer.
She was given 3 months to live.
And then you found this treatment. God works this miracle. And you, not being a doctor, not a medical professional, with no investors and basically every bad decision you could possibly make, you started this business, right? And along the way, I'm sure people are like, what are you thinking? Like, what did you say to them?
You know, everyone thought I was crazy. Everyone but God and my wife thought I was crazy. And in Psalm 37, verse 6, it says, your justice as the noonday. I now know what that means. The noonday is when the shadows are at their smallest. And we have that term shadow of doubt. So the doubt is at its smallest in the noonday. Your justice is when the Lord will make your righteous desire so concrete in this world, even your naysayers, and you'll have them, but they will actually shake your hand and say, I didn't know you could do that. And that's when you should be humble and say, you're right, I couldn't do it. But you did not know the Lord actually was working in my life and he did it for me. Yeah.
That's amazing. So you built your business on the Psalms 37 verses 1-8. You call it Psalms Path. How did you come by this scripture to begin with?
You know, I've had a lot of conversations about how did I do that? How did I find that? How did I find the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament that added clarity to it? And honestly, I can't tell you. I don't know. I know this. We were in the Bible and we were reading. And I think I asked my wife that. I was like, how did we actually come about this? And she says, I think we were reading Psalm 37, verse 4, because it said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And I kind of grabbed onto that. And then over time, because I like to have clarity of context. So if I get a verse that I want to read, I'll probably read in front of it and behind it, right? Mm-hmm. And so over time, I probably started reading 3 and verse 2, and then just said, hey, let's just go to verse 1. And then this is interesting. At some point in my life, and I can't tell you when, this would be a revelation from the Holy Spirit that, hey, that bad thing happened to me. In verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And I was like, wait a second. We actually had a theft against us for the tune of $120,000-ish. And the Lord replaced that money. He did. But it was something my butt was really chapped about, right? And I could have used that money to actually start Brio Medical. But it did happen. And I'm like, huh, there was an event. And then I find later in verse 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. And I'm like, huh, that also happened to us. Interesting. We had a time when we were pouring our resources, even selling anything we had that had any value that wasn't stolen from us to pump in to take care of people's paychecks, things like that, buy medications, anything and everything we had to do while we were waiting for the Lord to make it a prosperous venture. And I saw people doing better than me that were getting their gains from my losses. Right. And I'm like, my sacrifice. One of them was like, hey, 2020 was a great year. Well, 2020 was actually a year that I flowed from myself into the business, and the business had no authority or profits on its own. So what he gained, I sacrificed for. And I started to really fret about that. It really chapped my butt once again that these people were doing better than me. And the Lord was allowing it. And then I realized that was actually by his design. And then another evil act was brought about on us. And it says in verse 8, cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. So when we were moving our home from California to be near the clinic out here in Vegas, the movers steered the moving van to Vegas, parked it there with the keys in the ignition, the door unlocked, in a spot where no camera was. Of course, it was stolen, and all of our possessions, most of them, about 80% of our possessions were stolen. And that included our pictures and so forth. That, you know, I know they just threw those away, but we don't get them. And it made me very angry. obviously. It made me very but I noticed, I'm like, wait, I'm seeing more than a pattern here. I'm seeing my life in these scriptures. And it gave me a lot of patience, I think, and hope that, hey, if this verse happened to me and that verse happened to me, at some point, verse 5 will happen to me, where it says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, he shall bring it to pass. And you know what? He did. He brought forth my righteousness as a light, just like he said. And when the time was right, my clinic was in the top 3 in the nation in very short order for holistic integrative cancer care. And he did it. He made it happen against formidable opposition. It was incredible. And now I tell this amazing story, not so that I can brag. Well, at least not on myself. There's nothing really to brag about myself. Righteous desires, they're my passion now. Righteous desires are what we're all called to. Christians are wonderful. I love Christians. I am a Christian. A Christian is one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. But that's not what Jesus called us to do. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Well, when he made disciples out of the original 12 disciples, they had no idea what they were doing. They had no education. They did not have the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles, right? The Holy Spirit gave them all of that. And he elevated them so we can use them as an example. Why would the Lord give us righteous desires is an important question. And it's found in the book of John. If we'll jump over to the New Testament, John chapter 15, this is a very small synopsis of Psalms Path. But what Psalms Path does not give us in Psalm 37, 1 through 8, is the conclusion or the reason why. It does not do that. You go 1,000 years later and John wrote it. In verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. There's the entire plan. When you abide in him, that means, man, you are spirit-filled if you abide in me. I now know those to be Proverbs. I do a lot of cross-referencing. You go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. These are actually very famous scriptures, but think about the words abide in me. And then let's read that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he directs your paths. That's abiding in the Lord. So you're trusting in him. You're not leaning on your own understanding, and you're acknowledging him in all your ways. I'm an actionable plan kind of guy. I like to know what to do so I can go do it. And that's what Psalm 37, 1 through 8 is. It's an actionable plan. Now, going back to John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. So when you acknowledge him in all your ways and trust in him, right, as we superimpose those words for abide, and my words abide in you. This is the most amazing book that will ever be written.
This gives me a whole new understanding of Matthew 16:24, where he says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me if you want to be his disciple.
That's right.
And I'm making this connection as we're talking. I didn't do this before, but your approach to this is you ask God for that righteous desire, which is denying your own desires, denying yourself. Right. And then when you receive it, you ask in Jesus' name for that desire. So you're denying yourself, then you pick up the cross and you follow him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've ever made that connection or if that makes sense, but that just popped into my head.
Oh man, me and my buddy, we did a 2.5 hour Facebook Live yesterday, and we geek out about all of this stuff yesterday and the day before. We did a 2 hour Facebook Live event. And so, yes, absolutely. Here's why. There's a distinction. Let's go back one chapter in John And we're going to go over what would appear to be a clear contradiction. It's not. Contradiction if someone does not know what they're reading or understanding. John 14, verse 13 and 14. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Have you ever asked for something in Jesus' name and didn't get it?
Oh, yeah, of course. I think we all have.
Me too. Well, then one of two things are happening here. Either Jesus is a liar or we're not paying attention, right? I'm going to go with we're not paying attention. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus also said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He also said he's the door. Well, he's obviously not two pieces of wood, all right? So
right.
He didn't give us every little detail. He wants us to critically think. He wants us to be students. Isn't that the definition of disciple? To be a student. So we should be students of Jesus. So he says, you can ask whatever in my name. Well, there's some caveats to that. And you will find a very clear caveat to why that doesn't happen in the book of James. Oh, this is a good one. Jump over to James chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3, and prepare for an eye-opening experience. Verse 1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that wars in your members? You lust, and you do not have. You murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you did not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. I looked that up. It means inappropriate. That you may spend on your pleasures. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to unsaved people. He's talking about Christians that we lust, we don't have, we murder, we covet, we do these things, right? As Christians, yeah. We do these things. So if you take this, do they not come from your desires for pleasure? Wait a second. So these are coming from our desires. But then when you go to Psalms 37, the Lord says, I'll give you your heart's desires. All right. Do we see a contradiction? And the answer is no. What we see is the Lord is going to put desires into you because you and I don't have the ability to desire these things. Righteous things, right? Righteous things. So we need to ditch the fleshly desires. And when we do, you can go back and let's think about that word righteous desire and go back to the book of John. And we can go to John 14 and we're going to do some word substitution in there with our newfound knowledge. And whatever righteous desire you ask in my name that I will do. That my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me a righteous desire in my name, I will do it. So this is where the good stuff is. Then when you understand righteous desires come from the Lord and he gives them, we jump back over to the Old Testament, to Psalm with our new understanding, and we go into Psalm 37. And it says here, now remember, I said earlier on, it's easy to have missed it, we're co-creators. So Jason, there's things that God did that did not require us to do anything. And then there's things that require our participation. Our salvation does not require our participation for him to have done it. It requires us to accept it, correct?
Right.
All right. But not to have done it, right? He does it regardless of any participation on our behalf. But when we're looking at co-creating righteous desires, that means you have duties in which you must perform, and then he will do his manifestation. So we go to verse 3. You're required to trust in the Lord and do good. Now, what is do good? It sounds like a really, okay, just be a good person. This is the fruit of the spirits. You should display love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, self-control. You should look to do those things in your life. Then it says, dwell in the land. Well, what's dwelling in the land mean? Well, when you're in something, you're fully participating. When When you live somewhere, you're fully participating. So you should fully participate in being a disciple of Jesus. And then he says, feed on his faithfulness. Let me open this up again. You know how faithful he has been to us to give us this word? They've tried to burn it, kill it, destroy it a million times over, right? But his faithfulness has never let that go out. And in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah to eat the scroll. So he's saying, feed on his word, read his word. And when we eat it, when we eat something, we become what we eat. It goes into all of our cells. So fully participate, look to display and enjoy fruits of the Spirit, read his word, and then he says, delight yourself also. Now that also is enjoy him. Man, when you do these things, really actually enjoy knowing that you have the creator of the universe who wants to be your father and loved you so much because no one's ever seen God. No one will ever touch God. And he says, I want them to experience me and I want to experience them. So here comes Jesus. He says, my only begotten son. So at some point in time before time, the word of God comes out of God and he gives him his own consciousness and he makes Jesus. This is absolutely amazing. Why?
It is.
We can touch him. We can hug him. We can laugh with him. We can drink his wine that he made. We can eat barbecue with him because he did. He barbecued with the disciples. We can have an experience with him. This is an absolutely incredible thing. And now the Lord's saying, study him, right? I want you to study him because he's an amazing gift. He is God. So when you delight in the Lord, you do these things, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. He's going to give you righteous desires. These are bigger than you think. And this desire will be more than you ask. I know that to be true because I cross-reference another scripture. All right? Jump to the New Testament. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Bigger than you think, more than you asked. Right? Why? Because the disciples didn't go out unequipped. They did not go out and say, this is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, and then not be able to back it up. Remember, Jesus said, you may not believe me, but believe the works. So he doesn't want you, me, or any one of his children to look stupid. So he...
right.
Right? No, yeah, he doesn't. He gives us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He doesn't want us to look stupid. So now jump back to Psalm 37. So he is going to give you these desires of your heart. Then you commit your way, right? So you've gotten, and I'm going to run through with you here, the criteria of a righteous desire, and it will make sense.
So before you do that, I want to kind of swing back. You have this workbook freely available in your Facebook group, and I want to kind of plug that here. It's where I picked it up. I did read through it. It's really well organized. It's easy to read, but it's well organized. So I've added the link to the Facebook group in the show notes. The group is called Psalms Path Community. And once you've requested and been approved to join the community, I'm actually going to put another link in the show notes where you can go directly to where those downloads are. So just excellent. So the listeners know, go join the group and then come back and get the other link or just copy it and set it aside. But I want to make it as easy as possible for other people to get their hands on this because it really is amazing and it is a substantive but simple, if that makes any sense.
He didn't overcomplicate it. what he did do was he didn't put it all in one spot. You know, and in the fact, well, did he or didn't he? He put it all in this, right? So you have to know what you're looking for. And it took time. The Holy Spirit revealed things. And then the Lord says, hey, I want you to go share this, right? So I'm glad that it was beneficial. And thank you for linking that and making it easy for those people to find it. We want everyone to enjoy what the Lord has to offer. I've been asked, is this prosperity gospel? The answer is actually yes. But there's prosperity gospel that we're used to, that everyone gets blessings and, you know, you sprinkle some Jesus seasoning on that and voila, you've got, you know, give me some money and you have your blessings. That's not what this is. This is discipleship. And he elevates you so that people will look at your life. Remember, he wants you to shine like the light. In chapter 37 of Psalm verse 6, he says, he shall bring forth your righteousness as a light. You're someone to look at. You're someone that illuminates other people's lives. See, Christians are great, but disciples change the world. And that's where it's at. Disciples change the world. That's why he does this. You do have to commit your way. You do have to trust in him. You are co-creating righteous desires. So you have your duties, which is basically grab a hold of everything good in the Lord, and he's going to carry you into this desert and provide you with provisions and take you to your promised land. It's a custom designed desire just for you to elevate you. So it'll be something that's probably inside of you, but takes you to heights bigger than you thought you ever could be. So I'm not a doctor, but I employ them, right? I'm not a nurse, but I employ a lot of them. I employ them. So he carried me beyond that. But here's the cool thing about, and I grabbed a hold to this when I was in my dark days, when all I had was faith. In Isaiah, I think it's 64 verse 6, no man can stop the will of God. Now, I got challenged on that. I did. And they're right. Can you stop the will of God? Yes, in your own life, right? You can. You can stop a righteous desire. You're the only one who can stop your own righteous desire. Outside of you, the Lord will never let anyone or any circumstance stop your righteous desire from coming into your reality. He says in verse 5, he shall bring it to pass. He didn't say, but, or anyone but you. He didn't put your name in there or my name in there. It's just good for all of us, right? He is giving you a rock solid promise that you can take to the bank. Now, there's a caveat, and it's an important one, and it was revealed to me by the Holy Spirit, just popped out one day. This is specifically for business owners or people who want to own businesses. Does God care about your business? The answer is no. No, he doesn't. And I guarantee he does not. God does not care about any of our businesses. Here's what he does care about. He cares about his children who own businesses. Think about the difference there, all right? So when you're going through hardship, and you will, Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trouble, right? You're going to have trouble. So when you're in the process of cultivating and co-creating these righteous desires into your life, you won't be able to manifest it, so you'll be weak by design. It'll be easy to fret. Fretting is anxiety and worry. Mm-hmm. And you'll begin to think, this is, by the way, fret is the biggest threat to your righteous desire. Fretting is starting to doubt. It's the act of doubting the word of the Lord, his sovereignty. So how do you stop that? You do things like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continuously, give thanks in all circumstances. These are active things you can do. Pray, read, and meditate on the good things, right? And know this, he will make you succeed at whatever it is that he set you out to against any and all formidable opposition. But know this, he cares more about you and your relationship with him than he does about the righteous desire itself. And you should too, because if you start to fret, you're going to fail. And he says in Luke, lots of jumping of scripture, and it's all in the book. But you jump to Luke chapter 14, verse 26. This is some hard medicine. But we're going to go back and talk about the word here and give a little bit of clarity on that. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, his children, and yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So Lord's saying that you should just hate everything. So does he mean actually hate it? No. You can retranslate that to, if anyone comes to me and does not love his father less, and his mother less, and his wife less, and his love his children less, and his brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life, he must love it less than me. He cannot be my disciples. That's what he's saying. So while you're doing this, don't think the Lord owes it to you. He's given it to you as a reward. Don't make it more important that he owes it to you. Why do I know this? Because I did it. And you will pay a price for that.
So this righteous desire, I don't want to lose this thread because it's so important. We can get desires from something other than God, from someplace other than God. So it feels like this is a really important topic, that how do I know that this thing that I desire is a righteous desire? And you explain that in your workbook.
Yes. And it's a great question. And it's something I knew that everyone would need, including me. How do you know the difference between a fleshly good desire and a righteous desire, right? So that when you do have a righteous desire, you can claim it in Jesus' name. This is all backed up by scripture. I never make a claim that I don't pull out of scripture, right? You know that, right? So I'm not going to list all the scriptures that then go to the book, but here they are. First, you got to want it. That's the definition of a desire. Number two, it's got to be good for you, right? But it's not got to be just good for you. It's got to be good for everyone else. I can tell you the scripture that one comes from. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:15. It's got to be good for you, and it's got to be good for all. It has to glorify the Lord. And you can't have the natural ability to be able to do this on your own. You will need a miracle from God to make it happen. Those are the five criteria, and they're wonderful, and they make sense. It keeps us humble. It glorifies God. It's good for you. It's good for others. I want to tell you a quick story, real quick story.
Yeah, go for it.
Once you start understanding the criteria for a righteous desire, you start seeing it in the world. You start seeing, oh, that person had a righteous desire. Oh, man, that guy had a righteous desire. That's what's happening. He may or may not know that he walked Psalm's path. He may not know the actual scriptures, but he walked it anyway, right? David walked Psalm's path. Moses walked Psalm's path, right? They're walking Psalm's path, right? So my mother, we go back to my mom. My mom, I didn't tell anybody this for years, but I'm sharing it now. My mom actually went from stage four, you got 12 weeks to live, to where now she has no evidence of disease, and it only took 2 weeks. Now, the clinic that we were being advocates for down there, that was one of the fellows of the doctor that helped my mom, he had closed up his clinics many years ago, and he's already passed on and gone on to the Lord. But one of his younger doctors was this fellow and opened up a clinic, right? And we were sending patients to him. Well, he has a three-week program, right? But my mom was healed in 2 weeks. But here we go. No one had ever done it before then, and no one's ever done it after her. We put people in no evidence of disease in our clinic. And that includes like stage four pancreatic cancer. Yeah, get that. Wow. And they go to no evidence of disease. But have we done it in 2 weeks? The answer's no. Right? No, the Lord has not done that. Why in the world did my mom do that? Or how did that happen? And why did that happen for my mom? And I look back at it, and it's because it was a righteous desire. She did not know it, but the Lord has orchestrated. We're talking about it today to glorify our Lord. This is good for everyone. So it was what she wanted. She wanted to live. It was good that she lived. It was good for everyone that will listen to the story with an open heart. It glorifies our God because we're like, God did that. And it was a miracle because it was done in 2 weeks.
It was only something God could do.
It was a righteous desire. Then many years later, that happens in 2007, and I carry the torch in 2019, and we open a clinic. Remember, bigger than you think, more than you ask. This righteous desire is still going. It's still going.
There you go.
She died like 5 years ago, right? She lived 12 additional years when no conventional doctor thought she'd live 12 weeks. So even after her death, it keeps going, right? This righteous desire went far beyond her life. Now, if we could all do that, what kind of world would we live in?
Oh, yeah. It would be amazing. Amazing.
Amazing. So now I have this righteous desire. I have this clinic, and it's now one of the top in the country. I don't ask God to make it one of the top in the country. I ask him to make it the leader in the country. And that's where we're going. We are in the process right now of going from 6,500 square feet. We've cut a deal with a building, an owner, a wonderful couple, for 16,300, I think, in 2 square feet of custom built out for us medical space.
Wow.
This is incredible. It will be a state-of-the-art facility right up here in Scottsdale, a wonderful place. People are going to come from everywhere. It's going to be incredible, incredible. And we will save lives. Brio Medical will continue to save lives. We will teach, we will heal, and we will share the goodness of God and help others understand that this is a righteous desire, that they're standing in a miracle, and that the Lord wants their life to be also governed by miracles, only explained by miracles. Remember, he wants you to make you a light to the world for people to look at and go, wow, it has to be God. This guy's not that smart. You know, he couldn't have did it, right? He couldn't have did it. And watch these miracles just flow through the church, through the children of God, so that we become disciples, my friend. That's the whole purpose.
Yeah. So I want to circle back on this because, I mean, this all sounds wonderful and people are thinking, wow, if I do this, I get my righteous desire, things are going to be great. I'm going to be successful. But that's not necessarily the case. The result of your righteous desire isn't necessarily going to be fame, fortune, popularity, whatever. It's going to be something that's good for God, good for you. Yeah, it may be. You know, maybe that shouldn't be our focus. Our focus obviously needs to be on doing God's work.
Amen. I'll tell you this. I guarantee you whatever that righteous desire, no, it may not make you rich. It may not make you famous, but you'll want it. That's the point of the desire. You'll want it. Every single one of us will want it. And if you're like me, you'll want it bad enough to risk everything for it. Risk everything. Everything you got. And will, you know, when you get a righteous desire, does that mean that, you know, the rest of your life is rainbows and unicorns? Of course not. No one respects that. We overcome hardship, right? We respect people who love on others, even though they have endured difficult times. Those are the great stories. Silver spoons aren't great stories. Those aren't fun. So has my life been charmed? Bringing about my righteous desire almost killed me. And not from someone else's hand, but my own. I was in my dark day and I ran out of resources. I listened to the Lord. I acknowledged, Lord, you told me what to do. There's a story. You told me what to do and it didn't work. It didn't work. And now we're going to die. There's people in the clinic that I won't be able to treat. And they gave me their money and Lord, you let them die. Good job, Lord. And obviously I'm being very condescending and sarcastic in my prayer. This was a prayer I actually prayed to the Lord. And I was like, you ruined everything. I hate what you gave me. You can have it all back. Does this sound like a person who went through rainbows and unicorns? No, I wouldn't.
Nope.
Hard. I borrowed $500,000 because I knew the Lord told me what to do. And I did it. And I knew it needed to be funded. And so I borrowed an enormous amount of very, very expensive money that if I failed, it would destroy us. Well, it's not the first time I did that by what the Lord told me, but I was now thinking, this is going to work. This is it. This is my moment. And no, it's not. And I'm just devastated. I'm devastated and I'm whining and I'm complaining. And I'm telling him, not only do I not like my righteous desire, I despise it. I hate it. And people are going to die. And you've destroyed everything, Lord. But at least, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I had a moment of wisdom in my complaining. And I said, Lord, I need you to be my source of joy. And man, did the Holy Spirit didn't wait a second. And in my spirit to spirit, I heard him say, now you get it. And I'm like, oh no, I can't believe you just said that. Now you get it. And then that's when I later on, months later, I find Luke 14, verse 26. And I'm like, no wonder. I thought I was just complaining. And the Lord's like, no, you're actually understanding how I designed it to be. You're not supposed to love your desire. You're supposed to love Jesus. You're supposed to love the Lord. And he will make these things happen. But don't put them in front of them. Don't make them your idol. Oh, please don't do that. You're in for very, very hard times if you do that, because that is how you stop your righteous desire from happening. You can fret, which means you doubt the word of the Lord, and anyone who's complaining and saying they hate what the Lord is giving them is fretting. And then I doubted it to the point where I was going to kill myself. I have a large life insurance policy, so I was like, man, I'm going to get this Mustang. I got a Mustang. I'm going to get it up to about 140. It's not even my Mustang. It's my wife's Mustang, and she got it as an inheritance from her father. She would have been extremely mad at me. Because not only would I have killed myself, I would have destroyed her inheritance as well.
Right.
But I could have given her a large sum of money in which she could have, you know, gotten a house and saved the clinic. Right. And an evil spirit came to me. Don't think they won't. And in my ear, in my dark days, was like, God's going to make a fool out of you. That's what he said. God's going to make a fool out of you. You know, the noble thing would be to take your life. And you could save the clinic because God's not going to do it. Oh, man. And I'm so depressed and I'm so hurt and I'm absorbing this, right? I should have recognized the pronouns. God is going to make a fool out of you. I don't talk to myself like that. You know, I would have said, God's making a fool out of me. So I recognized it later that I was being spoken to by an evil spirit, evil indeed. And I said, no, I won't kill myself, but I'm going to do a fair amount of complaining, right? And then
right,
it's a joy. So the point of all of this is to let you know that, yes, I walked every minute detail of Psalm's path, and the Lord let me do that so I could share the stories with everyone that will listen. So they would get an understanding of how those words jump off the page and become our lives in today, in this modern age, which we believe are the end times. What does it look like? And share those things with you to let you know that I don't despise a single thing that happened. Would I like to have the pictures and memorabilia? Yes, of course I would. But the Lord gave me the wisdom of this one. If you had a choice, people or stuff, which one would you choose? And I'm like, man, I'll take the people. And sometimes you got to let it go. And I let the hatred and the being angry, let that go so that the Lord can work in us and help others, because that's really where it's at. So now I'm a cheerleader, an absolute cheerleader and a coach for people. Wake up. The Lord's given it to us thousands of years ago. He wants to elevate you. He wants to give you a life that you could only imagine. You know what the number one regret is when people are on their deathbed, Jason?
They didn't take a chance on X, Y, or Z.
There you go. They regret the things they didn't do, not the things they did, the things they didn't do. This is a moment in time where the Lord has placed me in a position where, hey, here you are, and you're able to see this. And I'm telling you, Psalm 37, 1 through 8, is a bona fide conditional offer from the creator of the universe who says, I am your father, that I will allow you and he to co-create not a desire, but a righteous desire that you'll want. It'll be good for you, good for others. It'll glorify God. And God will make a miracle happen in your life. Bigger than you think, more than you ask for. That's likely the results of this will likely carry far beyond your own life. How many people get that? You know, we give an inheritance and the kids blow it. It's gone, right? Your inheritance that you took your whole life to save up, they blew through it in a couple of months, right?
Right.
My mom is still saving lives 5 years after she died. And that's going to continue through my life and in the lives of all the other people, that their lives are spared as they go and they go, I went to this place, Brio, and man, God gives us miracles over there. They go and they're transplanted back in their communities and they change lives around them. This is exactly how the Lord Jesus wants to change the world. And he doesn't want us to be crazy. He wants us to be a light. And a light is something that sheds revelation and inspiration and clarity, right? When you have a light in the dark, you can see. It takes away fear. It gives us hope and promise. This becomes your life. These are the attributes that you share with others. You become a hope and beacon, not because of what you did, but because you simply said, Lord, I want that. I'm willing to go do those things. Please, Lord, give me a righteous desire. I'm yours. I'm yours.
I think that's amazing. That's you make it sound so magical and so inspirational, and magical is not the right word, but you know what I mean? It just sounds great.
It is. It is great. It is wonderful. It is emotional. As you see, I am emotional about it. It is those things. What's the difference? We had talked earlier about if you ask anything in my name, there's something else that we probably should talk about real quick because of how I sound and yeah, it sounds so easy. Didn't Jesus say everything is possible for one who believes?
Yeah.
All right. Then why don't we believe? It's because he also said the kingdom of heaven belongs to children like this. Why? Because they believe things that you and I don't. Right?
Yeah.
They do. And they have faith in things that we don't, but we've grown up and we have analytical minds and we understand physics and limitations, right? So the Lord created these physics and he enjoys breaking them. He does. He also gives us limitations, right? And we get more and more limited as we get older, right? But he also enjoys breaking those. Look at Abraham. And Sarah, he likes breaking those. So you have to know how the Lord operates. It's not that we can say, Lord, bless me and my stuff, right? And my life and my plans. No, really, we're to be students of Jesus. So we understand how the Lord operates. And then you have all of these stories in the Bible to give you clarity on how he operates so that we can take notes. That's what students do. We take notes and we study on them. We dwell on them. We eat them, right? We do those things so that we can pass the test, so that we can emulate our teacher. So we have this question. Once again, Jesus says anything is possible for one who believes, but we don't believe. That in itself is impossible. In fact, there was a man who came up to Jesus and said, I believe, but help my unbelief. So it is, let's kick over to another wonderful verse. I believe this is Philippians 2:13. So how do we believe? How do we have this childlike faith? Can you just, you know, I think I can, I believe I can, I believe I can? No, you can't do it. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in both you to will and to do for his good pleasure." It's God who's doing it. So what we do is we go, "God, I'm going to dwell on you. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to eat your words. I'm going to commit my way. I'm going to dedicate my life." And in turn, Lord, the Lord is going to work in you. Now, this is not forcing you. Work is not force. He says, "For it is God who works in you to both will it." It's also God who helps you believe it. And it is he who helps you to act upon it for his good pleasure. You are being given an actionable plan to change your life and actually have the belief to move mountains, raise the dead, make the blind see still today. The Lord will inspire you and put that boldness into you. As you go and you are his disciple, he builds it into you more and more. It happens without you even trying. And then you'll have moments where things come out of you that you never even thought of before. For instance, God doesn't care about your business. He cares about his children who own businesses. I never thought that up, but it jumped out of me one day and I was like, "Oh, that's the Holy Spirit revealing." You will start to have things revealed to you. Things will happen and you'll see confirmations in your life. A devotion matches up exactly with what you're thinking, or someone walks into your life and gives you something you needed to refresh you, but you had no idea it was coming. This is you becoming a disciple that is only explainable by miracles. This is how it's done. And it takes time. It's not sprinkling Jesus onto your prayers to get what you want. That's not how it's going to work. It starts with understanding, "Oh, I think that guy Rusty may have something. I'm going to look the scripture up, Psalm 37, 1 through 8. There, you know what? It does. It says right there, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And then I'll bring it to pass." Well, do you believe? At least believe that. Start there. And then ask him, "Lord, I want that righteous desire. Would you make me a custom righteous desire?" Ask it over and over and over and over again. And then when you have it, apply the qualifications. When you have it, claim it. Commit your way and watch the Lord bring it to pass. Jason, it's all real. And if you don't have your own story, read up mine. Read up on my story, because mine is an example for you. That's why it's there. You can claim my story as your own reality until you have your own story, because that's what the Lord gave it there for us for. All right? That makes sense?
That's great. Yep, absolutely makes sense. I think this is a good time to kind of wrap it up. But again, I want to plug Psalms Path. It's a powerful tool, helps us in our endeavors to be more successful as godly men and women, to be more successful in moving the kingdom of heaven forward on earth. Even as we work through our righteous desires, we know there's no guarantee of anything other than God will get us to the other side of where we need to be. And the real goal here is to do God's work as authentically as we can. And
amen.
Just let that come out. Let that
amen,
come out.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Special thanks to Rusty. Thank you for so much for taking time. I know you probably have an insane schedule. You've blessed us. You've gifted us your time. I appreciate it. I know the listeners do. Be sure to check out the Psalms Path community. Again, links are in the show notes. Help him achieve more of his righteous desires by achieving your righteous desires. So thank amen. You again, Rusty.
I want to see us succeed as a family. And we don't have competition. We have family. And to see others succeed beyond me, or others succeeding beyond others, and God bless them. You'll want it, and I guarantee you won't regret it. You won't regret it.
So shameless self-promotion here. Please take a moment to follow me on your favorite podcast app. Check out my links in the show notes. Find my social media. send me some feedback, sign up for podcast updates, or do all three, all of it, click all the links. If you enjoy what we're doing here, what I'm doing here, you know, go to myministrymission.com/support. You can give me a tip. You can buy from my affiliates or just share the podcast. If you don't want to give money out, that's fine. Share the word, get it out there, get the message going, and help Rusty share his message as well. So until next time, be sure to read your Bibles, love your neighbors, and God bless you and keep you. So God bless everyone, and God bless you, Rusty.
God bless, guys. Have a blessed day.
You've just finished listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Please be sure to like and subscribe this podcast on your favorite app so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to check out today's show notes for great links and information you may have missed. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you next time.